There's a lot about life that's deathly serious. So how do we develop a sense of joy that transcends whatever problems come our way? Having just completed our study on Jonah, today Chuck Swindoll turns to the New Testament book of Philippians for the answer. Our series is called Laugh Again. Maybe you come to a place in your life where the levity has waned and most days are consumed with heaviness. Well, in this study, we'll discover how to recover our smile. As he opens today's Insight for Living, Chuck sets the stage on what it means to laugh again.
Someone asked Mother Teresa what the job description was for what she did. Anyone that wanted to work alongside her to do her work with her, she said only two things. First, a desire to work and to work hard. And second was a joyful attitude. We appreciate her work and we have watched it over the years. And the same is true in any endeavor. Hard work, a diligence that knows no stopping, a commitment to the end, but with that, a tempering spirit of joy that accompanies that hard work. I would like to read for you, rather than have you follow in your copy of the scriptures. I want to read from the Living Bible a few sections from this wonderful book of joy, the letter of Philippians, and just have you listen to the recurring theme, how it keeps coming back to visit with you as you read through the letter. From Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ, to the pastors and deacons and all the Christians in the city of Philippi, may God bless you all. Yes, I pray that God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ will give each of you his fullest blessings and his peace in your hearts and your lives. All my prayers for you are full of praise to God. When I pray for you, my heart is full of joy because of all your wonderful help in making known the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Is there any such thing as Christians cheering each other up? Do you love me enough to want to help me? Does it mean anything to you that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, sharing the same spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic at all? Then make me truly happy by loving each other and agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, working together with one heart and mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they are doing. Whatever happens, dear friends, be glad in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you this, and it is good for you to hear it again and again. Dear brothers and sisters, I love you and long to see you, for you are my joy and my reward for my work, my beloved friends. Stay true to the Lord. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all that you do. Remember that the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Pray instead about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your heart's quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Rather rare message in our day of bad news and dark messages, isn't it? And I think we're overdue for a good dose of joy, not only today, but in the weeks to come, as we study the letter to the Philippians, the letter that makes you smile.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Your Smile Increases Your Face Value.
I know of no greater need today than the need for joy. And if you will allow me, I would add to that, which is a byproduct of joy, the presence of enthusiasm for life and, of course, encouragement of one another. And if you question that analysis, just look around, just listen up, read the news, watch the telecasts. You will find that the morning newspaper as well as the evening newscasts focus almost incessantly on bad news. Ours is a world of long faces and heavy hearts. And no surprise, that seems to be what sells papers. That seems to be what it is that makes people switch from channel to channel. I've noticed it even affects the weather report. You notice that? We always hear there's going to be a 20% chance of showers tomorrow rather than an 80% chance of sunshine. Remarkable. It's going to be partly cloudy rather than mainly clear. Once again, it's the downside of everything. Bottom line is, the uplifting, encouraging, enthusiastic message of life is being eclipsed by the downside of life. Tragically, this has slipped into the ranks of the Christians. You notice that? We are fast becoming a body of long-faced saints. G.K. Chesterton said it best. Joy is the gigantic secret of the Christian. For some strange reason, our joy is fast disappearing. We are all too seldom laughing, especially in the place where laughter ought to originate, and that is the place of worship. I mean, this is the one authentic place where laughter belongs. And yet, it is seldom the place where laughter is heard. I was speaking on that some time ago when I was up at Moody Bible Institute. In fact, it was several years ago now. Some of you may recall my reading a letter to you that a lady that was at the conference wrote me. And she talked about the importance of a sense of humor. Great letter, this lady writes. Humor has done a lot to help me in my spiritual life. How could I have raised 12 children starting at age 32 and not have a sense of humor? After your talk last night, she said, I was having fellowship with friends I met here. I told them I got married at age 31. I didn't worry about getting married. I did leave my future to God's will, but every night I hung a pair of men's pants on the bed and knelt down and prayed this prayer. Father in heaven, hear my prayer, and grant it if you can. I've hung a pair of trousers here. Please fill them with a man. Isn't that a great, great letter? Well, I read that the next week when I got back to the Fullerton Church. It didn't fit my sermon. I just rammed it in because I thought it was such a great letter. And so happened that we had, among others in the worship service, a half a family. The mother was home with a sick daughter, but the father and older son were at the church. And I happened to know the family, and I watched them, and the father just cracked up laughing, but the boy was rather serious. Interestingly, it was several weeks later I got a letter from the mother, remember, who hadn't been in the service, where I had read the letter. She said, Dear Chuck, I'm wondering if I have something to worry about. I've noticed that our son, when he goes to bed at night, has this bikini hanging over the foot of his bed. Terrific story. So I had fun writing her. I said, you have nothing to worry about. Just
Pray that the bikini will be filled with a man, with a woman before me. Guys. Oh, man. We are in a world that emphasizes a sense of responsibility, a sense of duty, a sense of propriety. How seldom anybody emphasizes a sense of humor. And yet it is the sense of humor that keeps you sane. It is probably a sense of humor that has changed your home into a hell on earth. Its absence. You're no longer laughing. Life is no longer fun. The enjoyment and enthusiasm and upbeat part of life is gone if the laughter is gone. I have people write me rather regularly and say, you can stop preaching, but don't stop laughing. They'll say, yours is the only laughter that comes into our home. Now that is tragic. I don't want my family to remember me as a long-winded, loudmouth preacher who came down hard on life. I want them to remember me as somebody who was fun to be with. Somebody who threw their mother in the pool and lived to tell the story. Throwing her in the pool is not a big deal. Living to tell a story is a big deal. Trust me. When I was a little boy, the advertisement that was very famous in magazines was the one that read, "Send me a man who reads." Remember seeing that when you were a child? I no longer believe that's the major ad for employment. In fact, it isn't for me. Send me one whose attitude is positive. Send me one whose face shouts yes. It would be great if that person does read. It would be wonderful if that person is well-educated. It would be delightful if that person is an individual with compassion and mercy. But send me one who laughs. Send me one who laughs at life. Send me one who hasn't gotten under circumstances and lives there and exists in the grim reality of how bad and heavy and hard life is. No, send me one who laughs at hardship. Send me one who finds a reason to go on. I have a pastor friend who has the greatest little sign that hangs framed in his office. It says, "You can't beat fun." Isn't that a great sign? You will not find signs like that in pastors' studies. Because you usually will not find pastors laughing. How tragic. One man says one of the highest of human duties is the duty of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at other men's ideals. It is easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It is easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time, he writes, a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a person on his feet. Blessed is the one who speaks such a word. Show me a believer who laughs at life. Show me a Christian who regularly takes life by the throat with a great sense of humor, and I'll show you a Christian who has no trouble convincing the people around him or her that Christ can change a life. As valuable as love, as valuable as knowledge, as valuable as compassion, all of these things may be, nothing is more contagious in life than joy. You are like a magnet that people can't stay away from when you have a spirit of enthusiasm and joy. And all of this brings us to this little letter that has been preserved in the New Testament called the Letter to the Philippians. It's an easy letter to overlook. First of all, it isn't that long, just 104 verses in our English Bible. And it's not that challenging. It's not difficult theologically, philosophically. It's one of the simplest of all letters. One New Testament scholar writes with wisdom, when we read Paul's letter, we are not reading things which were meant to be academic exercises and theological treatises, but human documents written by a friend to his friends. But this is not to say that Philippians has no enduring quality. This is certainly not to say that there is no part of the book that's profound. Since when have we removed profundity from simplicity? Why must things be confusing to be called profound? Here is a profound, simple letter of joy. You know, the greatest love songs that we sing and love to hear sung to us were written to one person, and it wasn't us. But those songs come back with beautiful orchestration, and they make us want to love a person that we love, and to fall back into love and to romance again with that person that we've fallen in love with. We have simply cashed in on a love song that was written to someone else, and that's the Philippian letter. It's a joy song. It's written, of course, to be understood. It's certainly written to be read, but it's not written to be analyzed. I trained in a school that taught me to analyze Scripture, and I'm grateful for every hour I spent there. But on occasion, I think I can overdo it when I come to a love letter or a joy letter like this one. You see, joy is not an equation to be analyzed. It's an emotion to be expressed. And just as you don't analyze a love song, you're not to analyze a letter like this. You're to enjoy it, apply it, take it personally. I remember the years I was in the military, Cynthia would write me when I was overseas, and I would get a love letter from her. Believe me, I didn't analyze the verbs and compare one adjective with another adjective. The first thing I did was smell the letter. There was nothing in the Marine barracks that smelled like that letter I got from home. It was wonderful. And then I would pore over that letter, and I would live that letter, and I would read that letter. And in my spare time, I would walk with the Lord through that letter, and I would relive our love and her place in my life. It was wonderful. But I never analyzed it like an equation. It was a letter of love to encourage me. So it is with Philippians. So let's get a hold of the letter as a whole in this message. And then in the days to come, we want to get into the leaves and the blossoms and the bark and the limbs of this forest. But let's look at the landscape today. Let's feel the beauty of the letter of Philippians. And let's enjoy the color that's here, because God gave it to us as a whole. It's a whole letter that can be read in less than 15 minutes, written by a friend to friends, with a lasting joy that continues to bring a smile to our faces. I like doing this, by the way. I like getting a look at the letter as a whole before we get into the various parts of it. If you follow my ministry, you know that before we get into the book or into the letter, we always back off and take a look at the whole. I remember counsel I got from a friend in Texas before we moved out to California a number of years ago. He said, "Let me tell you something you'll thank me for every week for the rest of your life." He said, "When you get there, get a hold of a big map of the freeway system of Los Angeles. And you memorize it. If it takes you 2 hours, sit down at the table and open that map up and learn the names and the numbers of all the freeways in Los Angeles." And he was right. That has kept me from more false turns. And I've noticed even when I do get lost, I soon find out where I am. And I'm able to get back in touch with the system. Rather than just focusing only on Fullerton, that little section of the greater Los Angeles area where I live, where we live, but I know the whole system. And on occasion, I'll come back to the 405 or the Ventura or the San Diego or the 57 and others that they have added even since I learned the map years ago. And I've come back to see the thing as a whole. It really has helped me. And it helps you when you get into a book like this. For example, if we were to give a single word to the letter of Philippians, all four chapters, it would be the word joy. Just the word joy. It is not a letter written to answer some deep question. It's not written to solve some knotty problem. In fact, you'd be surprised, perhaps as I was, to discover that no great sin, no particular sin, is addressed and dealt with at length in this letter. More specifically, it is a letter of laughter at life. It is a letter that brings joy to the reader because it comes from a joyful writer. More specifically, let me sort of travel through chapter by chapter and show you a section of each of the four that emphasizes this word that appears almost 20 times in these 104 verses. Look at verse 3 of chapter 1. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Paul was from the South. And he writes in verse 4 that he offers prayer with joy for you all. When I kneel and I remember the Philippians to whom I ministered some 10 years ago, smile comes to my face. Makes me laugh when I think of your lives and how they have intertwined with mine and with others. Look at verse 23, chapter 1. I'm hard pressed from both directions. People in the South would say, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm not sure which I would do. First of all, I have this desire to depart to be with Christ, for that's very much better. Yet, to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. I'd love to go home to be with the Lord, but for your sake, I've been left on this earth. And convinced of this, look how he puts it, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. There it is again. One of my purposes for being left on earth is to spur joy and to stir it up in your life and to bring it into your faith. Chapter 2, verse 1 begins with the same theme. If there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete. And how do I do that? How do we do that? How do the Philippians do that? By being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose.
With the very first message in our study of Philippians, you're listening to Chuck Swindoll's message called Your Smile Increases Your Face Value, and this is Insight for Living. We're looking forward to a productive study with this signature series called Laugh Again. Chuck has written a book by the same title. For information on how to purchase the book or for other related resources, visit insight.org/offer. Chuck, even though we're still several weeks away, our eyes are focused on June 30th. Help us understand the significance of this upcoming deadline.
Thanks, Dave. Most nonprofit ministries like Insight for Living look expectantly to two very important months each year. To give you a mental picture of that, think of it this way. If our calendar looked like a clock, the 2 months I'm talking about would be represented by 12 midnight and 6 o'clock p.m. December, the final month of the year, is when folks are naturally thinking about year-end giving to their favorite charities. June, however, might feel like any other month, but here at Insight for Living Ministries, it is a critically important time. It's when our accounting staff closes the financial books on another year of ministry. And this year, we're in a race against the clock to finish strong financially. As someone who has depended on Insight for Living as a daily source of encouragement, you are essential. I cannot overstate the importance of your gift at this time-sensitive moment. Can I count on you to give, and I mean to give generously? That generous gift will allow us to continue on your station and to continue to pursue our mission to reach all the countries of this world with the truth of God's Word. To use the metaphor again, the clock is ticking.
and the hands on the dial are headed toward 6 p.m., and they're moving rapidly. On June 30th, we'll close the books on 4 decades of service to our listening family. The goal we're attempting to reach appears insurmountable, were it not for God's sovereign hand and the many people who faithfully respond to His call. If all of us band together with our gifts, large or small, we can surely meet and even exceed the amount that we need right now. So, while there's still time, please follow Dave's instructions and respond today. Thanks so much.
Yeah, we've opened up a number of different ways you can easily connect with Insight for Living. One of our ministry representatives would be pleased to process your gift over the phone. If you're listening in the United States, the number to call is 1-800-772-8888. Or you can easily give online at insight.org. As Chuck has said before, no gift is too small. As God moves you to join us in touching lives, we invite you to give generously. If you're listening in the United States, our telephone number once again is 1-800-772-8888. Join us as Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Laugh Again, Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Your Smile Increases Your Face Value, was copyrighted in 1990, 1992, 1999, 2008, and 2019. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.